other way. And He is enough in every trial and tribulation or whatever it might be. Let's take our Bibles tonight. We're going to be in the book of Job. This is, I believe, our ninth message in the book of Job. We're going to look tonight at chapters 20 and 21. We're going to basically see the second discourse of Zophar. I don't like the guy, just so that you'll know. And then we're going to see the Job answering for the sixth time. So each of these fellows will say something. Job will answer them. And so what Zophar is going to say tonight, I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. I'm going to read some of the verses. Then I'm going to tell you basically what he is saying to Job through this, and we'll read some of it. And then you'll hear Job's answer in chapter number 21. In fact, let's go ahead and stand in honor of God's word, and let me read some verses here about this man Zophar and what he's saying. And if I could just put it in perspective, he's basically going to say to Job, we're tired of your suffering, why don't you repent? And it's basically a regurgitation of the same things that these guys are saying. They feel like, in their spirit, they believe what many times mankind thinks, and that is this: if you are doing wrong, that you're not being blessed, and if you're doing right, we'll be blessed, and if you're doing wrong, you won't be blessed. But we know that that is looking at it through the wrong lens, if you would. That's not looking at it correctly. Now, God is always going to bring things together in judgment, and God is always going to balance the books, but He doesn't always do it in the way that we do. In fact, here's the way I look at it. I want you to look at my glasses tonight, and I want you to look at this as an illustration that these are temporal in the sense that we look at life in a temporal way. But God looks at things in an eternal way. So Zophar, this guy, he begins to speak again. And here, you know, he's so self-righteous, it makes you want to be nauseated. He says in verse 2, because he answers, and in verse 2 he says, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, and for this I make haste. And what I have to say, I got to say it quickly. I have heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understandeth causeth me to answer. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment? Now you see in these, he's implying that Job is a hypocrite and that Job is wicked. And basically he's saying, Job, listen, the reason that you're in the shape that you're in is because you're not repenting and you're not confessing whatever it is that you've done. And we all know here, because we've been in nine sermons, that we know that there was a conversation between God and the devil, and God allowed this to happen. Job's not done anything majorly wrong. We're all sinners, all right? But there is no great sin that is causing Job to go through this suffering that he's going through. He goes on to say, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? He shall fly away as a dream and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. The eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. His children shall seek to please the poor, and his hands shall restore their goods. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. Through wickedness be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue. Job, you're not confessing. Though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth. In other words, Job, you're not confessing. Yet his meat in his bowels is turned, and it is the gall of asp within him. I don't know. Maybe every time I read, I'm like, people think they know and they don't. People think they know and they don't. He has swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of ass. The viper's tongue shall slay him. Now let me just be like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. All right? Now look at chapter 21. because it's the same all through here. I want to paraphrase because we could, the whole, verse 27, verse 26. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that is left in his tabernacle. The heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. Now, I want you to notice what Job says. And by the way, that's the whole gist of chapter 21. I'm trying to get you to understand. So basically, Job, you're a sinner. And you're a great sinner. You're a wicked sinner. You're a hypocrite, Job. You have been this valiant man but we know that God said that, listen, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him. And they don't see that. They don't see the conversation of God. Now, Job answers in chapter 21, and then I'm going to go through this, but just notice what he says. Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolation. Suffer me that I may speak, and after I have spoken, mock on. Job says these kind of things, very sarcastic. Let me just tell you, let me answer what you have to say and then go ahead and mock on, because that's all you're doing. And this thing is going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Listen, here's what I want to entitle the message tonight. Now look, this is the illustration. These are temporal. My glasses are temporal. They'll be temporal because probably next year I'll have to get some more because I can't see good without them by next year. So I want to preach on this. What glasses are you wearing? And then you can do one of them semicolon things and say perspective. All right? Perspective. Their perspective is totally different than God's perspective. Amen. God help us tonight as we look at the Word of God. May we understand the truths that are contained even in what we read in Job 20 and 21. And we won't go back and re-preach the eight sermons before this one, but we know that Job is in a very difficult situation. We know that his health is deteriorated to the place where he can't even really be recognized. He's lost much weight. He has a foul smell about him, according to what we've looked at. His friends, so-called friends, have rebuked him on numerous occasions that Job is a wicked man and that he's not telling the truth, yet his perspective is, if there was sin in me that needed to be confessed, I'd be glad to do it. And Lord, but we know the truth. We know that Job is going through this great trial and that God tells us that when we go through trials, we're to make sure that that help us to be patient so that we can be the child of God that we need to be. And Lord, I believe that Job will look at his perspective from eternity and not from the temporal. And I pray that we would understand as God's people, as the children of God, those that have been saved by God's grace, to understand that when we look out into the world and we see things that are there's injustice going on, there's all kinds of just things that are outside of the boundaries of God's ways, that there's people that are doing wicked things, but yet it seems that they're prospering. I pray, Lord, that we might understand that there is an eternal perspective and there is a temporal perspective. And I pray, Lord, that we would look at the eternal tonight as Job is going to show us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. You know what? We've been going through this and we looked at the patience of the Apostle Paul in message number 2. We looked at the patience of Job based on the book of James in the very first message that we looked at. And here's one of the things, the statements I'd like to make, and that is this. Patience in our life reshapes how we look at life. You know, when you are young, your perspective is quite different than when you're older. And the reason that your perspective is different than from when you're younger to when you're older is because you have experienced life and you have gone through things maybe that young people have not gone through. That's why God in the family gave you parents, young people. Because even though you think you know everything, the truth is your parents know a whole lot more than you do because of the experiences of life that they have gone through. and the trials and the tribulations that they've gone through. And so the statement that I would make is that patience reshapes how we look at life. When God is working on us through trials and tribulations and heartaches, it teaches us a perspective. Now, the perspective is that there is a temporal perspective and there is an eternal perspective. 100 years from now, the outlook or the perspective that we will have is quite different than the perspective that we have right now. 100 years from now, every person sitting in this room is going to be in eternity. And they're either going to be with God in heaven or they're going to be in hell. And they're going to under their condemnation. And there is no three ways, and there's only two ways. There's the way of heaven, and there is the way of hell. And 100 years from now, the perspective of eternity will be quite in order. I read an article just this week because we've been keeping up with the fires in Hawaii. We've been watching, you know, the death toll and all those kind of things. But as I was reading it, there was they mentioned that 20 years ago, there was a blackout that took place in New York City. Now, when I remembered that, my thinking came back and I remembered that. And the first thing that I thought of was it 20 years ago? Seemed like it was like 5 years ago. And the grid in New York went black and they were out of power in much of the state of New York for several days. And the article was talking about that, and they took three people that were getting married on that day that the lights went out, and they were not able to, they were getting married on that day, and many people had plans. I mean, the brides had a plan. Can you imagine that if you're going to get married and the lights go out and you can't curl your hair? I mean, that's got to be like the end of the world. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but that, listen. But to a young lady who's getting married and has planned this marriage and dad has spent thousands of dollars and all of this is going on, to your perspective at 20 years old or whatever it might be, and you can't curl your hair for your wedding, that's the perspective, is this is the end of the world. And so it was interesting because they interviewed this lady, and she is now 40 years old. She was married. She was 20 when she got married. She was now 40 years old, and they asked her about everything, and she said, "Oh, and by the way, she now has 5 children." She's 40 years old. She has 5 children, and they said, "What was the main thing that you have learned in your experience toward that? And now with 5 children and being 40 years old, you know what she said? Don't sweat the small stuff." That was her perspective. Now, she said her perspective on that day was the food was ruining because they had to do all these things to keep the food warm, and the brides couldn't get the brides and the bridesmaids couldn't get ready like they wanted, and they had to do all this stuff. And I thought, that is so true, because perspective of life, once you get older, and it's like, don't sweat the small stuff. There is an eternal perspective on everything. But we are so prone in our humanity to look at things only in the temporal, only looking at it right now. You see, the truth is, she was looking at her life through different lenses than she was on the day she got married. Someone said it like this as a joke. You know, you would look better. You know, when I was in the fourth grade is when I started wearing glasses. And fourth graders are cruel because they call you four eyes. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Somebody said, "You know you would look better if you didn't wear glasses." To which the person responded, "Yes, you would look a lot better if I didn't wear glasses." Some people, they get the cataracts, you know, taken off of their eyes. They get that film taken off, and they put the lens in, and they're like, "Whoa, I didn't know you looked so old." You know what I'm saying? Everybody with me? Perspective. God's people's perspective is not temporal, but rather our perspective should be eternal. Too often we look at life with the now glasses right here instead of the eternal glasses. And God wants us to see eternal and not just in the moment. When God has us in the school of patience, as we've been looking at, He is reshaping how we look at life. Now, let me give you the first thing. Here's what Zophar said. This is what he is trying to get across to Job in Job chapter number 20 as we read it. A just God, he's saying, here's what he's saying. A just God where we reward righteousness and punish wickedness. Now, I will not disagree with that in the eternal, but I will disagree with that in the temporal. You see, God will reward righteousness and God will punish wickedness, but we don't live in the eternal, so to speak. We live in the here and now. We're trying to live today, and we see the wicked getting away with everything, it seems. We see good people suffering, and we go, where is God? And Zophar is saying, Job, if you were righteous, God would be blessing you. And Job's going to answer and say, that's not necessarily true, and we know it's not true. So that's what Zophar is saying in chapter number 20. Zophar says, Job, God rewards righteousness and he judges wickedness. To which Job could say, well, that's true, but not necessarily today. Job, here's Zophar. Job, we don't want to see you like this. We don't want to see you suffer. So Job, why don't you repent and everything will get well. That is not true. Good people suffer. The devil is the prince and power of this world. Amen. Come on, do you not see injustice all the time?
Amen.
Political injustice?
Right.
People thinking things that are outside the bounds of the Word of God and the way of normal decency?
That's right.
It's unbelievable. And it just seems like people are getting away with it. You know why? Because everybody's looking at the temporal. Nobody's getting away with anything when it comes to God. Their logic was this. Here was Zophar's logic. The logic was God is a fair God and God rewards good and punishes evil. Well, God doesn't look at things the way we look at them. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to understand everything that's going on, but I can trust that God does. And again, Zophar saying, Job, if you were righteous, then all this wouldn't be happening. That's not true. This is looking at life in the moment instead of eternity. They were looking at judgment and justice of God being measured by the visible circumstances of a man's life and not in the eternal. This was why they were thinking, and that's why they were saying things like this in verse 27. The heavens shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed to him by God. You know what he said? Job, you know why you've lost your family? Job, you know why you've lost your riches? Job, you know why you've lost your health? Because you are wicked. Yet we know that God said, have you considered my servant Job? You don't know everything. So Job's answer. Job's answer is this. He looks at Zophar and he says, hey, wicked people get away with wickedness all the time. At least in this current life. At least in the temporal. Man, my. Surprised I can read out of those things. They're so dirty. I'm going to go down through here and I want you to see it. And you look at and you answer me. I mean, praise God, the Bible is true.
Amen.
Every bit of it.
Amen.
But Job looks at it. He goes, listen, guys, first of all, Job describes what he has seen. And we've all seen this and we see it every day. Every day we see these kind of things that I'm going to mention. Because their perspective in chapter 20 is that Job, we don't want you to suffer. Job, we like you, yeah. Job, you're wicked. Job, the reason that you're in the shape you're in is because God is judging you because you're not righteous. Job was righteous.
Amen.
Job was God's man. Job was, God did say to the devil, have you considered my servant Job? And Job describes what he has seen, and that is wicked people live good lives all the time. Look at verse number, let's drop down to verse number 7 of chapter number 21. Here's what he said. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? I see it every day. You see people that have no relationship with God. And oh, by the way, that's why Jesus Christ said this. It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And his disciples could not believe that he said that. And you know why it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? Because they say they don't need God. They think their money and their education and their wealth or whatever it is they say, well, that's good enough. And then they go, well, I'm not being punished by God. That's because you're looking at the temporal and you're not looking at the eternal. Go on, look at this. Let me get back down here. He said, this is what Job says. Well, I don't know what you're looking at, Zophar, but I see wicked people become old and are mighty in power. Verse number 8, he goes, here's what he said. They live long lives, they become wealthy, and I even know powerful men who are wicked as the day is long. Job says, I see it all the time. Job was a businessman. Job was very wealthy. Job had been blessed by God. But Job basically said, I see people in the business world all the time that have great jobs, live long lives, and are very powerful. They have no relationship with God. And it just seems like they're doing fine. So Zophar, I don't know what you're saying, and I don't know what you're looking at, but here's what I see. Look at verse number 8. He says this, their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. He also says this, it seems like their kids are doing pretty good too. They're well educated. They go to the finest schools. These wicked people who have no relationship with God, who do wicked things, who do things outside the bounds of God's word. Everybody with me? They have kids that seem to prosper. Look at verse number 9. He goes on to say, their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Here's what they say. They are secure, and it seems that they're totally unpunished by God. Hey, listen, we see this every day. We see people prospering, and we know that they have nothing to do with God. In fact, they mock God. They make fun of God. They make fun of Christians because they think, oh, you know what they're doing? They're looking at it through these glasses, which is temporal. Verse number 10, he goes on to say, their bull gendereth and faileth not. Their cow calveth and casteth not their calf. You know what they're saying? They prosper in their business. Look at verse 11 and 12. He says, they send forth their little ones like a flock. Their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. What does that mean? It means, well, they sure seem happy. They have parties. They celebrate birthdays. Job goes, I don't know what you're saying, but this is what I see. Look at verse number 14 and 15. Job's got the answer, man. He says, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto him? In fact, here's what Job is saying. He said, those people don't fear God because they don't seem like they have to. And when somebody comes up and says to them, can I tell you the gospel? Can I tell you how to have your sins forgiven? I don't need any of that. Don't you see my house? Have you not seen the cars I drive? Have you seen my portfolio? Can I tell you something? Your house, your cars, and your portfolio are all temporal. Amen. You're never going to take them with you into eternity. Right. Everybody's going to die. Amen. Everybody's going to stand before God. Everybody's going to give an account. So Job goes, what you're saying so far is not true. Because you're saying that if I was right with God, that I wouldn't suffer. I know people that are not right with God, and they prosper. Job says, Now, let's drop down to verse 29, because I'm going to do this. Verse 29. Have ye not asked them that go by the way, and do ye not know their tokens? That the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction, they shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Who shall declare his way to his face, and who shall repay him? What hath he done? Yet shall he be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. Job says this. Job says, is it not common knowledge that we accept this every day, knowing the truth that there is a judgment coming? We all agree with that. I think everybody in their heart knows that. There is a judgment coming. But Job says, you say this, but I see this. And everybody is looking through the glasses of the temporal. Psalm 92:7 says, when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the work of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. And so Job says, let me tell you the truth, and then you can mock on. Go ahead and mock. But the truth is, Job says, you don't know. Job says, you are mocking me, but the truth is, boys, there's inequity and there's injustice every day, but it's only temporal. You act like there, here's what he's saying. Job says, if I could paraphrase this, you act like there's no way a righteous man could be going through what I'm going through, but you don't even stop and think that there are wicked and godless people out there that get their way of evil and do good all the time. If God is fair, Job says, then why don't you explain that to me? You can't. Because sometimes the only way to make sense out of why the wicked can get away with their wickedness is by putting on the right glasses. You have to put on the eternal glasses. They look a lot different than the temporal glasses. My wife says, do you know how goofy that looks? I said, I'm going to make a point. I just didn't know I wasn't going to be able to breathe through my nose. Here's what we have to do. We have to factor in eternity. I don't know how this is going to work. This is different, isn't it? You know what? People laugh at eternal things. But eternity's coming. And when you look at things through eternity, we'll all be dead in 100 years. And God will judge the wicked, and He will reward the righteous. Now, praise God. I want to say, praise God that in our story of Job, He's going to show us the end results of Job. Amen. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it'll end that way for us. God can do with us as He pleases. Amen. So let me give you the final thing. Let me give you the factor in of eternity. We may be tempted to look and say that life is so unfair when we see some people getting away with what we think they're getting away with. And that is, we need to understand that eternity is the great equalizer. You can live any way you want. Now listen to me. You can live any way you want and think you're getting away with it, but one day you'll face the music. One day you'll give an account. That's the eternal perspective. That goes for salvation, and that goes for the life of a Christian. God's ways don't always make sense to the frail human, especially if we look at them through the temporal glasses instead of the eternal glasses. God's ways don't always make sense. They don't have to. He's God. God's ways don't always make sense, but especially if we're looking at things through temporal glasses and not eternal ones. Now, for the wicked, why does he get to have so much money? Why does he have to have so much fun? Why doesn't he have some debilitating disease? Why are his rebellious kids so healthy and successful? Why doesn't he have any problems? Oh, he does. But it just seems that way. Here's the question right here. God's people, listen now. Because Job is like going through this, and I'm just going to ask you, would you want to trade places with him 100 years from now? If you're here tonight and you're saved, and you're looking at the wicked, and you're looking at their wealth, and you're looking at all the things it seems that they have, and it seems like they're just wicked. Hey, listen. There is some wickedness going on in this world today. And I mean it. I say, Lord. And the Lord says back to me, there's an eternal perspective, son. You're just looking at it from a temporal perspective. How about 100 million years from now? Would you want to trade places with them? For the righteous. Listen to this. Now for the righteous. That, when I say righteous, I'm talking about those that are saved by God's grace, trying to do the best they can to live a life that is pleasing to God, going through life. Why do I have these financial troubles? Why am I so troubled? Why am I not always on cloud nine all the time? Why has this tragedy come to my family? Those are questions that we ask. Do you think there might be a unique or special reward being crafted for you in heaven as a result of all this? You know, listen, God's teaching us patience and experiences, and we're to rejoice in that. What is God preparing for you in eternity? We are born with a hardwired system to see in terms of temporal. Income, health, happiness, the school of patience tends to strip that all away from us when we're being overwhelmed. All right, so let me bring this all to a conclusion. Patience is about learning. It's about seeing life through the eternal glasses and not just the temporal. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 real quick. I'm going to make a New Testament application here, and I'm going to make another application, but I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Paul, he puts things in perspective. He puts things in eternal perspective. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 15, here's what Paul said. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. And here, notice what he says, for our light affliction, the trials and the troubles and the overwhelming things that happen to us, he calls it light affliction. Now, if you look at all the things Paul went through, we wouldn't call it light. We would call it heavy. But he calls it light. And he says this, it's for a moment working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. People endure present difficulties by considering the good in the long run. For example, saving for retirement. That's painful, little by little. But one day it'll pay off. Paying off a debt. Finishing a college education. In your freshman year, senior year seems like eternity. On April the 15th, I paid my taxes like everybody else. They're always more than you think they're going to be. And on April 16th, I think April 16th we actually paid. That was the day you had to send in your taxes. I put on a pair of pants and I said to myself, whoa, these babies are too tight. My wife, she's been washing them in hot water again, shrinking them up. And I said on that day, I'm not buying new clothes. So I said from that day forward, I went on a diet. took me 17 weeks to lose 17 pounds. And so I basically was losing 1 pound a week. You know what? I couldn't eat Andy's frozen custard every time I wanted to. I had to put my calories in my little app. And when I'd get to the end of my calories, I quit eating. I don't know if you know this. It takes 3,500 deficient calories to lose 1 pound. Meaning you have to burn 3,500 more calories than you eat to just lose 1 pound. But I had a goal. I had a perspective. And now I'm on the last notch of my belt. Earthly fathers teach their children to think big instead of right now. Save your money. Get your education. Think about your future. Don't you think God thinks the same way? Amen. You know what God says? Quit thinking in the temporal. Think of the eternal. All right, how do we apply? Well, when you go through some affliction or adversity that you're facing, you need to ask yourself, how's this going to benefit me eternally? You better listen to me. Quit sweating the small stuff. I think you should seriously take time to think about what is God's trying to teach you. Perhaps you would like to thank God for whatever that is. Learn to embrace adversity by considering the eternal benefit it produces. God knows what He's doing in our life. And God is molding us and making us. And He wants us to be the child of God that we should be. And we don't get there by everything being rosy. That's for the lost man, not for the saved man. When you see someone who seems to be getting away with everything, remember that eternity will balance that all out. Listen, that's why you need to be saved by God's grace. You may think everything is good now, but it won't be a good 100 years from now. When God and life seem to be unfair, why don't you try to put on these glasses instead of these glasses? Learn to think more about eternity and less about the temporal. And listen, the older you get, the easier it is for you to do that. Invest your life in eternal things. Some people in this room today probably just got their eggs in one basket. The temporal and not the eternal. You're not witnessing. You're not going to prayer meetings. You're not discipling anybody. You're not serving and giving and doing everything you can. You know why? Because you're just looking at the temporal. You know that you're lost and you're on your way to hell, but you think everything is okay because God hadn't struck lightning down on me. No. God is a gracious God. God is a merciful God. And God is a long-suffering God. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But listen, we're human. Job, if you were right with God, everything would be good. Job goes, well, that ain't the way I see it. And that ain't the way it is. But eternity will balance it all out. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. My heart goes out to whatever it is you may be going through tonight. But I'm telling you, there's an eternal perspective that we need to look at. And it does seem like there is a lot of injustice. There is a lot of wickedness out there. And it does seem like that people are just getting away with whatever it might be. But the truth is they're not. Not when you look at it from the perspective of eternity. And we'll go back to Job. Because Job wasn't doing anything wrong. Job wasn't suffering because of sin. Job was suffering because God allowed the devil to try Job in his in this time of his life. Job's going to come out okay, all right? And listen, so are you if you're saved by the grace of God, because that's the eternal perspective. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word tonight, for Job 20 and 21 and the discourse that took place. And Lord, Job was so right. I see the wicked prospering every day. I see their kids doing well. But we know that that's just the temporal. I pray for those that are having difficulty or having adversity and going through something in their life. I pray, Lord, that we might look at it through the perspective of the eternal glasses. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of anyone here without Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. John's going to lead us in 505, Have Thy Own Way, Lord. Let's sing a couple of verses. And you do business with God if you need to come down to the altar. You need somebody to help you tonight? You want somebody to pray with you? We'll be glad to do that too as we sing.